It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines at 4 o'clock, brought to you by Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddies. The Seahawks have restructured Shelby Harris's contract to create nearly $3.3 million in cap space for 2022. Duke basketball has become the first college program to hire a general manager. Former Nike employee Rachel Baker will oversee NIL opportunities for the players. Former U.S. Open champ Bryson DeChambeau, former Masters champ Patrick Reed have reportedly followed DJ Phil and others to the LIV Tour. They will not make their debut this week in London. Instead, it will be 3 weeks from now in Portland at Pumpkin Ridge. Storm wrap up their homestand 5-3 with a win over Atlanta. Jewel Lloyd led the Storm with 26 points in a 72-60 victory. And Sabrina Ionescu became the first player in WNBA history last night with 25 points and 8 assists on 90% or greater shooting from the field in a New York win. Marcus Semien snapped out of his season-long slump yesterday, becoming the first player since 1973 that had 3 home runs and 7 total hits in one game. Seahawks preseason week 2 game at home against Chicago will be an ESPN 5 p.m. start, and the Browns have excused Baker Mayfield from attending mandatory minicamp. Let's get to it. It's 4 o'clock on a Wednesday. It's Petros time.
It's time for our weekly conversation with college football analyst Petros Papadakis.
Not that I'm a smart guy, I'm stupid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
41 yards.
If you're hurt in an accident, call Sweet James right away at 800-500-5200. Sweet James will be sweet to you, but tough on insurance companies that will bully you.
Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Ushalom.
And now with Petros, here's Dave Softy Muller.
They're losers.
Oh, no, 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 no. I get to talk to Petros this week because Dave Softy Muller is, as we know, as I've been telling you the last few days, banging balls and sipping wine. That's what he's doing in Sonoma, California. And Petros, I get to talk to you today. And you are brought to you, we're brought to you by whom?
Sweet James Bergener, Dick. It's always great to know that if you've been in an accident, motorcycle accident, any kind of accident, VW van, whatever's happened, Sweet James can come through for you like he has for so many others. One of the best attorneys you could ever run into, awarded best attorneys in America because he cares about people, hundreds of millions of dollars amassed for thousands of clients, and you could be the next success story that they brag about. Give him a call after you've been in an accident or before. 800-500-5200, 800-500-5200, or sweetjames.com. How's it going, Dick?
Good, man. Because of the hundreds of Sweet James billboards in the Southland that I drive by, seemingly one every 3 miles.
When you get down here a lot, Dick?
Yes. My folks live down there half the year, so I get that. In beautiful Palm Springs, California.
Oh, how nice. So I love the desert.
Absolutely.
Would you like to go through the desert mascot roll call with Petros Papadakis?
The desert mascot? I don't know what that is, but yes.
Well, let's talk about the high schools of the desert.
Oh, yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, you got your Palm Springs High School Indians. You got your Palm Desert High School Aztecs. Shadow Hills High School Knights. Cathedral City, you know, the one with the purple headlights?
Yes.
Lions, Coachella Valley, brace yourself, Arabs.
Really?
Really.
The PC culture has not gotten down there yet with the Indians and the Arabs.
They got him to change it. He doesn't look like all gnarly with like a curved nose and a curvy sword. Now he looks like Aladdin. He looks like Aladdin and Jasmine.
Okay.
But they're still the Arabs.
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Indio?
Uh-huh.
Rajas.
That's a great name,
right?
That is great.
I mean, it's I love the desert. My grandparents, my paternal grandparents, Tom and Angie Papadakis, mm-hmm. bought a, you know, it's what would be considered now a humble condominium in Rancho Mirage when they broke ground in a, basically an empty area at a place called the Sunrise Country Club on Bob Hope and Country Club Drive.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, in Rancho Mirage. So we have been going there for years.
That's out by it's out by Sunnylands. Have you heard of Sunnylands? You know where all the old presidents used to go?
Oh,
and
yeah.
They would hang
yeah.
out there, that big, huge.
Well,
I had
a family member in the Betty Ford out there.
Not exactly Sunnylands, but it's close.
But, you know, Betty Ford, I mean, you know, they were talking about the presidents now.
Yes.
And, you know, that you got a lot of Betty Ford stuff going on.
Well, people might not know what the Betty Ford is.
The Betty Ford Clinic is like, it was, I guess, as big as the 80s. It's still one of the premier rehab facilities in the world, medical rehab for drugs and alcohol
yes.
facilities in the world. And I had a family member in the Betty Ford, and I did not know how close in proximity, because Betty Ford barely has a sign. It's like a little tiny sign. You know, they're not advertising.
Right. Come to us.
Yeah, it's not like the little white chapel in Vegas, you know. And I remember he asked me to smuggle he or she asked me to smuggle pornography in for them
because
they don't allow pornography. And it was still like a time where like you buy like a porno mag and I'll never forget, like, it's not like I was smuggling heroin into the Betty Ford, but I had on my front, you know, against my front, I had one magazine, like a club
underneath the shirt or something.
Yeah. And
yeah,
on
okay.
the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like 150 degrees. And on the back, I had like high society. And, but I pulled it off. I mean, I did
pull
it off.
Well done. Well done.
But I did not know how close. I mean, the Betty Ford was literally right, is literally right across the street from our condominium. And then you have, you know, Frank Sinatra Drive, Bob Hope Drive, mm-hmm. Dinah Shore, you know, all those places named after pioneer celebrities of the desert. Gene Autry, come on, let's go.
Oh, yeah, my folks live right down from the old Gene Autry Hotel, which is now the Parker.
Yes, oh, yeah, Parker.
Yeah, that's very exclusive.
Very nice, not far from the Boomers.
That's right. Oh, I love the Boomers.
Yeah.
I love the Boomer. The track and the putt-putt golf, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't like going inside. It's kind of gross. But the, and I don't like that dirty water spraying on me from the boat bumpers.
I hear you.
My kids like the track. The track, except my kid cut off my wife or wouldn't let her pass, like the F1 kind of wouldn't let her lap him. They got in like a fight on the way home. My wife was like, "You didn't let me drive." It's like, are we really fighting about this? Like, are we going to the Yard House or what? Like, what?
Yard House for a big yard of beer.
Yeah, I don't, absolutely. You know, I try not to do that. That kind of brings attention to the table.
That's true. Petros Papadakis joining us. Well, speaking of, you know, golf areas, were you in Connecticut this week? Did I see that right?
No, I made a mistake.
What do you mean you made a mistake?
We have the Chargers on our station.
Okay.
And my radio partner is the voice of the Bolts. So if there's some kind of Charger event, you might have to have me there. That's part of the deal. And they had a golf event, which is actually very close to my home in Rolling Hills Estates.
Mm-hmm.
At Rolling Hills, I live in Palos Verdes Estates, but it's one city next to us. Rolling Hills Country Club, which is the country club that Tiger Woods was driving to when he crashed, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That was where the event was. I put the tweet up at 5 in the morning and tagged the Twitter for Rolling Hills Country Club in Connecticut.
I see.
We were not in Connecticut. Really, actually, just 12 minutes.
Gosh, I was like, why is Petros in Connecticut?
I don't golf.
I was like, maybe he's preparing to join the Misfit Live Tour.
Is that what
you were trying to do?
All the Charger types were there, and for our purposes as West Coast college types, Dan Fouts was there, the great Oregon quarterback, obviously a Charger and a Hall of Famer. Joey Buss was there, one of the owners of the Lakers, who's really a prince of a guy, despite all the terrible things I say about them. He's really nice to me, and it's painful. And the Chargers people and all their brass were there. And Danny Farmer the great receiver from UCLA that used to tear us to pieces.
Sure. Tall guy, right?
Yeah, big old white guy.
Tall
played,
guy, yeah.
A few years in the NFL, too. He was there, and it was really nice to see Danny Farmer and reminisce about the old Pac-10. So that was cool.
Well, I mean, maybe money would be better to answer this, but you watched your share of Charger games this year.
I called two.
Oh, you did? Okay, well, then
yeah,
you're the guy.
Yeah, because of COVID, I called two, and I've never even... Those were the first two NFL games I'd ever attended in person in my life.
You're probably the first person ever to call a game than you've never been to before.
Yeah, and that would have happened before. They asked me to do a game with Brady Quinn up in San Francisco years ago when we were first hiring him. And it would have been an on-air NFL game at Fox, and I had a conflict. And I couldn't do it because it was a last-second thing. That would have been the very first NFL game that I had ever been to. But I'm familiar enough with the Chargers, even though they brought in a lot of new dudes.
Well, yeah, and they lost a dude that was actually at the Storm game this week that I was calling, Uchenna Nwosu. So
Uchenna from Narbonne.
Is this guy any good? I mean, what are we looking forward to here in this lane?
Well, I've known him since he was 15 years old. He comes out of this area as a defensive conglomerate from Narbonne High School, which is in Harbor City, California. They've become almost more of a producer of talent in the modern day than Long Beach Poly down here. Narbonne High, and they're a public school, the Gauchos, which is really extraordinary. And his coach, Manny Douglas, who's not there anymore, is a big part of that. He went to USC, was there during turbulent times, obviously, Sark Kiffin type of era. But he's a great, solid young man. It takes a really solid young guy to come from a public inner-city school, play at your hometown school, get drafted, stay in town, and have a solid foundation under you and play well in the NFL. Like, Chenna has done all of those things, and that's really impressive because I've seen a lot of guys that just have had a hard time navigating life in their hometown, especially USC, city school. You know, that line is a really hard line to walk, and this guy is a class act. So I'm so pleased for him, and I hope he has a great career. I'm sure Pete recruited him right before he left or however that worked out. But Pete was aware of him, obviously, as a Southern California and USC guy. But I very much like him, and I hope he has a great career up there.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for the defense.
I know he played well for the Chargers.
Yeah.
He made a lot of plays.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for this defense. So you said you're not a golfer, so you're not going to be joining the LIV Tour. But
I heard it stands for not LIV, but 54.
That's correct, yes.
Like, it's a number. Like, so what are we supposed to say?
Like, well, I've heard LIV and I've heard LIV, so I'm just kind
of... Yeah,
I've
heard of both, too.
Depending
so
on the day, I just change it.
Yeah, just switch it up, like ASU and say it, Arizona State, A-State, ASU, the Devils, Sun Devils. I get it.
What do you make of this thing, man?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's so many layered. Like, it's very dangerous for us to start pointing fingers and calling people hypocrites in one way or another, or saying this country's bad and this country isn't bad. But at the same time, I mean, the Prince of Saudi Arabia really did have a journalist killed, and everybody knows about it. So that part of it is kind of disconcerting. Now, is there a bunch of money involved to give these golfers more flexibility and gives them a little bit more of a bargaining chip when it comes to the future? Yes. So maybe they would say it's a necessary evil. I mean, the China stuff with LeBron. I mean, people don't like to talk about that. Some people really like to talk about that. But that's real. I mean, the money that is made in China. I mean, just think about the Pride Month thing, okay? Everybody's fine, or most people I know don't really think one way or another about looking at Twitter and all the emojis suddenly of all these big companies like the Dodgers and Apple or whoever else is a rainbow this month, right? We've become very used to that, right?
Right.
But not in Azerbaijan. Mm-hmm. Like, those companies, like Mercedes-Benz, who does business there, does not have a rainbow emoji on Twitter there. So, I mean, corporately, people bend to whatever customs or cultures or wherever they are in the progressive timeline. I mean, corporations have done that for years. Whereas, you know, the flip side of it is used as a marketing tool here. So you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure these golfers feel like they're getting necessary leverage, and maybe it's worth it to them. I don't really have a dog in the fight, but at the same time, being super self-righteous about who does business with who, and then filling up your car with gas, and then talking on your Apple phone,
right?
You know,
right.
You know,
I mean,
that,
like, where do you draw the line, right? I mean, look, yeah. we just had Olympics where we sent our athletes to Beijing. We've had, right. the USGA CEO came out yesterday and he said, you know, we're going to allow these players to play in the U.S. Open, and that the PGA Tour in February had 30 players that they allowed to go play on the DP Tour in Saudi Arabia, hosted by the people that are running this tour. So it's like they just allowed 30 players to do it in February, and now they're not allowing people to leave. Or
I watch the F1, you know, and they, God knows, you know, they'll take people's money anywhere in the world, except they just pulled out of Russia this year. And that seemed like, wow, they really did something.
Right.
So, I mean, exactly. You know, once you start drawing a political line, I mean, do I look at LeBron and the way he handled the China thing and say, wow, that was really stupid? Yes. You know what I mean? The way Phil Mickelson has come off, the way he's spoken about this, the way the Shark, you know, different people have spoken about it, it's not savory. But at the same time, like, I know Kevin Na. We've had him on the show a bunch. He's from down here, from the Diamond Bar area.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy. I'm sure that there's some, you know, he's from a different country, or, you know, his heritage is from a different country. You know, people have different views of different countries all around the world and what responsibility they have when they do business with them. I'm just an old short yardage tailback. But I thought I made some salient points.
Yeah, of course, as you always do.
Well, of course.
Petros Papadakis joining us. And, you know, you just mentioned LeBron there. I saw where LeBron was asked on his the barbershop show that he's on, the I don't know if it's on YouTube or where it is, but
he's got a hard time staying out of the way, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Can't we just have the finals? I mean, this guy.
He kind of wants to go out there, but he was asked if there was any.
Thirst is real.
If there's any team he could play for, what would it be? And he said, the Warriors. And I mean, obviously he couldn't include the Lakers in the question. He said the Warriors, and I thought, you know, that makes a hell of a lot of sense, because this guy wants more championships. It does not look like it's happening in Los Angeles as long as Russell Westbrook's on that team sapping that contract or sapping that money away from the salary cap. So do you think potentially he plays one more year and then, you know, takes a 75-minute jet ride up to the Bay Area and wins another championship with Golden State?
What would they want with him? I mean, why would
it wouldn't be worse with him?
He's toxic at this point.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, come down here. Talk to some Laker fans about it. They don't want to sell their franchise to LeBron. And you know what? It doesn't mean anything anyway. Remember during the All-Star game, Dick, when LeBron was out there saying, oh, I'd love to come back to Cleveland. And then that made headlines. He's just thirsty for attention.
Yeah.
And the attention is out there to be had, obviously. One, because he's LeBron James. Two, the NBA Finals are not interesting people. They're just not. I mean,
the ratings are up 30%, so they're interesting more people than they were last year.
For whatever reason, the topics around the NBA Finals this year are not, hey, who's going to win Game 3? It's, hey, who are the Lakers going to hire as head coach?
Well, that's because you're in L.A.
Russell Westbrook? No, I'm talking about the pre, half, and post of the actual thing, on ESPN. I mean, they're doing that. And it's about LeBron tweeting out, oh, whose podcast? I mean, that's national crap. I mean, it's not L.A. That's the thing. LeBron isn't L.A. It's not a good fit.
Mm.
It was never a good fit. Ever since he showed up and said he was coming to that pizza place and never showed up, it's been the same crap the whole time. You know, it really has. And, I mean, I don't mind the NBA Finals, but, I mean, what's it about? We just had James Worthy on our show responding to Cornbread Maxwell talking about smelling his ass. It's like, and Draymond talking about this old era versus the new era. It's like, whatever happened to just enjoying this NBA Finals for what it was? I don't know. Maybe I missed the media train on this one, though, Dick. I don't understand why all these topics are swirling around during what's supposed to be the time for everybody to concentrate. And they had the same problem a couple years back, wasn't it, with the Rachel Nichols thing?
Yeah.
I mean, that freaking infuriated Adam Silver. I mean, will you think that pissed that guy off? We're about to play the NBA Finals and everything's about Maria Taylor and Rachel Nichols?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they need to cut some fat during their shows during these times and concentrate on what they have as a product. If the ratings are up 30%, and I believe you when you say that, then celebrate the freaking guys that are playing.
I think this series is great because it's unlike what we've seen in some years past. I don't want Toronto in there. Sorry. I don't want Phoenix in there. Sorry. I don't want Milwaukee in there. I mean, Golden State and Boston.
It's the desert. I mean, you sit here talking about Palm Springs, but you don't like Phoenix?
Yeah, Phoenix is the armpit of Palm Springs.
They're both on the 10.
They are. They're both on the 10.
But so is El Paso.
Yeah, Phoenix on the other side of the Salton Sea. I don't go on the other side of the Salton Sea.
Nobody does.
Hey, great stuff. Always a pleasure to talk to you, man. We'll Softy be back next week, I think. I don't know.
Oh, well, it's always great
talking. He works
everybody.
When he decides to work these days.
Say hi to Hugh and have a great day, and we'll talk soon. Go dog.
Thanks, man. Talk to you later. Petros Papadakis. Sweet James brings you Petros each and every week. We'll bring Hugh back to the fold next right here on 93.3 KJR FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
DK has been on our mind today. And some differing of opinion. We played a take from Colin Cowherd's show. We played that last hour, and Colin basically said, this is not the time to be signing wide receivers to big-time contracts as the prices just continue to go up and up and up. And in the position that Seattle is in, that they really shouldn't spend that type of money on a wide receiver. Hugh disagrees, and I'm in the sense of, hey, if you want to have him play for you, you know, you can play him for $4 million this year, $20 million next year, and $24 million a year after that, if you want to, on franchise tags. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that is 3 years, $48 million, which is very, very doable. And you could also pull a Tyreek Hill and get a whole big buttload of draft picks for DK Metcalf. So, Hugh, you did a little research while I was chatting with Petros on wide receivers in the first round recently.
Yeah, because you mentioned Ja'Marr Chase and was it Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy. I don't know who you mentioned the guys. Actually, the math is real simple. Over the last 10 drafts, we're going to eliminate the 2022 draft because they haven't played. So we're going to include the 2021 draft, which had Ja'Marr Chase. And then we're going to go 10, counting that, we're going to go 10 years back. So there's been exactly 40 wide receivers taken in the first round. Because I think the thought out there is, well, we're going to have all these draft picks. We got the Russell Wilson picks. If we trade DK Metcalf, then we'll have first-round draft picks, and we can get these type of receivers. Well, in the last 10 years, there's been 40 receivers drafted in the first round, and 8 of them have made a Pro Bowl.
Okay.
So that's 20%. Mm-hmm. You got a 1 in 5 chance of getting a guy make a Pro Bowl. And by the way,
and those guys are more recent, right? Because I mean, those guys are like the Diggses and the Jeffersons and the Chases.
There's only been 3 post 2015.
The 3 that I mentioned, or am I missing somebody?
Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay. So Diggs hasn't made a Pro Bowl, or maybe Diggs wasn't a first round draft pick. That's potential.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just saying, would you agree that wide receivers...
If you want to expand it to the second round, you're going to get less than
20%. I understand that. Would you agree, though, that wide receivers are more good NFL-ready receivers, are more plentiful now coming out of college than they have been in the past?
Yeah, but it was recently that we were saying that there was a lot of first round... But I mean, look, I'm just looking at the numbers.
I hear you.
You can say that... Pro Bowl is not a relevant barometer.
Oh, it's a barometer. Sure, it's relevant.
It's a barometer. I mean, I've actually just pulling up seasons over 1,000 yards, and I can I was hoping to get that done before the commercial break.
But, no, I get your point. It is going to be difficult. It's going to be nearly impossible to replicate a DK Metcalf in the draft, even with the first-round draft pick. But my point is, maybe you don't replicate a DK Metcalf with those picks. Maybe you trade him for two firsts, a second, and a fifth. And maybe you find four starters out of those five picks. Well, what's more important, having DK Metcalf or having four starters making almost no money for 4 years?
Depends on the starters.
I mean, I would almost say having four starters. Yeah, I mean, they're... I don't know. I mean, how good do they need to be in order to equate to the value that DK Metcalf brings you?
Well, but I don't know. My answer would be, at what point do you, by that logic, you could say, well, let's every time we get a superstar, a transcendent. I mean, if you accept even close, you may not accept my idea is the all-time freak in the history of the Seattle Seahawks, Bobby Wagner, when he was 24. And it looked like he was, let's just, instead of paying him, let's just move him and get draft picks. Like every time we get this, so it's almost like we're spinning our wheels. We're on this, right. Like a gerbil in a freaking circle. Like we say, okay, we're going to be at the draft and we're going to have all this discussion in April about how we're dying to get great players. We really want to try and get a special player. But then as soon as we get them, we'll let them play on the rookie contract. But when it's time to pay in their second one, then we'll just let, trade them for a bunch of draft picks.
Sure. No, and that's why.
The league has realized how great they are. I mean, is there ever a point where you say, hey, we've got a great player. That's what we were trying to get. That we crossed our fingers and our toes and everything, and we prayed and we threw pennies backwards into ponds and everything trying to get this player.
No,
and we actually
right.
got this player.
You're right. You're right.
Well,
let's
not keep him.
You're exactly right. The truly elite players you have to hang on to. And precedent says what? The Seahawks will hang on to him, right? Because every truly great player that the Seahawks have drafted, they have given at least one more contract to. I mean, every yeah. single one of them. So DK Metcalf is going to be no different. The guys that you want to trade are the guys that you know the truth about, but the value outside is maybe higher, a.k.a. Jamal Adams, right? The Jets probably knew the truth about Jamal Adams. Everybody yeah. else just saw two first-team All-Pros or whatever it was. He a first-team and a second-team. I don't even know what he won in New York. And, they're talking about this in Golden State right now. Golden State, I bet you, is begging Andrew Wiggins to go off for just one game. Andrew, give us one game where you get 30 points and you win a game for us so we can trade you to some sucker for a huge package because we know that Andrew Wiggins is not a superstar. But there's talk around the NBA, like, ooh, he's young, he could be coming to his own, high draft pick, blah, blah, blah. And so, yes, I agree with you, and I think that the Seahawks will go about doing that. I am just a fan, though, of selling high and buying low. And you're not buying low right now on DK Metcalf.
Well,
you're buying very, very high on
DK. Well, I think DK, DK is like Amazon stock years and years ago.
Right.
Or pick your ascending stock, but in the case of Metcalf, you got a 24-year-old that has proven everything, and in my mind, we should be talking more about what are we gonna do to get him more involved, because I don't think that they utilized him. But the reason why it's topical today is because of kind of what we're talking about with Florio. What's your level of concern? What's your concern meter about Metcalf not being at the minicamp where he's potentially going to be fined? That he was at the non-mandatory off-season workouts, but now you get to a minicamp and he's a no-show. That at least suggests there could be some friction and strife and discontent with the status of the contract negotiations.
That's true. And my concern level is, I'm not going to say very low, but it's definitely low. It's definitely well below a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Now, you mentioned how can we make DK Metcalf better. Part of that answer is going to be who's throwing in the football. Is it going to be Drew Lock or Geno Smith? And one thing I want to ask you is if there is a true tie or an essentially a tie between Drew Lock and Geno Smith when Pete Carroll, John Schneider, his quarterback coach, Shane Waldron, all sit down in a room and say, who should be our starting quarterback? And they check in these boxes and they're like, damn, it's like I got 15 boxes and it's 8-7. It's essentially a tie. Should Drew Lock be the tiebreaker just because we know what Geno Smith's upside is? Or, you know, are they so comfortable in Geno Smith that he should be the tiebreaker?
Well, there is a school of thought that says that Geno Smith is the Seahawk, quote unquote, the incumbent. He got the first rep of the first mini camp, that it's Locke's duty to beat him out. I don't see it like that in this situation because of how the Seahawks evidently feel about Locke. And this was a big part of that trade, is they felt like Locke has a lot more meat on the bone than what he showed in Denver. And so if it's a tie, what you say, by all appearances and the eyes of the players, it's a dead tie.
Like the Husky quarterback situation last year. It was just like, dude, we really don't have a winner. It was just a, you know, Morris won by a thimble.
Against whom?
Well, who was it last year? One year was Kevin Thompson, one year was Patrick O'Brien, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, O'Brien got hurt, and I think Morris was the guy because he had played the best in practice.
Okay, but and, my point is just it's a close battle. You're saying it's going to be Geno, you think?
Well,
if it's close.
I'm saying there's a school of thought that they could say if it's a tie, they would go with Geno. I think that what they should do, and I would lean ever so slightly as to what they will do, if it's a tie, I think Locke will be the guy.
Why?
I think that the only reason Locke won't be the guy is if it's real simple, that the players know that he's not the guy. And they can't. You can't just go into a starting and say, wait a minute. All these players have been watching Geno outplay Locke in practice and in the three preseason games, and now we're going to start Locke anyway. That, I think, would be hard. I don't think Locke has accomplished enough. I mean, if you acquired in a trade Locke, well, you did acquire Locke in a trade. If Locke had been, you had spent a lot for him and he had done something where he had earned it, and then all of a sudden he doesn't play as well in the preseason, then Locke would still be the guy based on, the trade situation. Kirk Cousins got acquired by Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He's going to start whether he had the best preseason game or not, just because of what they expended to acquire.
And as a Seahawks fan, I want Locke to be the guy simply because I know Geno Smith's ceiling. I know Geno Smith's floor, and it's pretty close between his floor and his ceiling. I don't know Drew Locke's ceiling. And in my opinion, there's a one in something chance that Drew Locke becomes a star. One in 50, one in 75. But in my opinion, there's a 0 in 50 chance that Geno Smith becomes a star because we've seen him for so long. 441 on 93.3 KJRFM. Testimonials, what's your take on DK? You agree with Colin Cowherd that Seahawks should not sign DK Metcalf? 93.3 KJRFM. Testimonials are coming up next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler.
And Dick Fain.
All right, Texty, time to get warmed up. I'm being told, Hugh, that this is A-plus quality text segment here. So, Jackson, hit it.
If in April the Seahawks had drafted rookie Hugh Millen from 1986, could that Hugh Millen beat out Drew Lock and Geno Smith?
Wow. Could Hugh Millen coming out of Washington beat out Drew Lock and Geno. Now, it's a little bit unfair because then you're asking a rookie Hugh Millen to beat out a guy, two guys that have been in the league, what, 3 and 6 or 7 years? So that'd be tough.
I think it's a no-win situation for me. I think we just go with the default. I suck. Next question.
I suck. So you're saying no, that you wouldn't,
I'm a hack. Just
I will respond to that. Then I will respond for you. I will ask the texter. I will say, was Geno Smith or Drew Lock ever the highest paid player in the history of the New England Patriots? I'll just respond with that. Next.
Dick wants to trade all these good young stars and turn the Seahawks into the Oakland Athletics.
I do appreciate Moneyball. I do appreciate Moneyball. I also appreciate, there's a couple ways of going at it. I appreciate the Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers, New England Patriots, kind of conservative way of building a franchise. Because as a fan, I like my team to be relevant every single year. And what those teams do, they never get in trouble with the cap. They're always very judicious in their free agent signings. And guess what? We're talking about them every single year competing. They don't always win championships, but we're talking about them being competitive every single year. I'm not a big fan of the fly-by-night, you know, let's load up for 2 years and be awesome LA Rams, and then we'll see where they are in 2024. Hugh, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I don't think exceptions disprove a rule. I mean, you can have a general philosophy that there's outliers to your philosophy, your ideology, and a 24-year-old superstar like Metcalf. I mean,
yes.
You know, you could say that in general, I love blondes, you know, but Cindy Crawford is, really hot. I mean, she goes against your norm. I mean, exceptions don't disprove rules.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I just, and DK is one of those guys.
I'm well aware, but.
No, yes. Hey man, who you think is hot, who you think is hot, right? And I just think that Jamal Adams is the type of guy that the only reason I was even remotely okay with them trading 2 first-round picks for Jamal Adams was because they were in that window. They were like, all right, maybe all we need is 1 star on the defensive backfield end to get to the Super Bowl. So therefore, I was okay with it. I would not have been okay with it had they not been in that situation. What's next?
Can you do this trivia question? Name all the Pro Bowl receivers you played with.
You've done that before. You can do that easily.
Well, man. I've counted before. I'm not sure I could get all 10. I don't know that it would have redeeming radio value at this point.
I just thought you might be able to rat them off in 5 seconds, and then.
Well, yeah. Michael Irvin, Irving Fryer. Let's see, Ed McCaffrey. I think was a pro.
Top of the head. It's
there's
hard.
Three. How about?
I got you. There's three. Good. What's next?
Russell freezing out Metcalf makes sense because what OC would game plan to use him as a decoy? I can wait to see Waldron find creative ways to get the ball to DK and have a quarterback that will actually run the plays he calls.
He's referring to a comment that you made earlier on the show that you have received word on good authority that Russell froze out DK. Would you like to expand on
that? At times, I think that there was times Russell got to the point where he didn't want to be criticized by anybody. He didn't want to be criticized by Pete Carroll. You know, for example, the overtime game against Tennessee when Seattle lost the lead, Seattle got the ball on the coin toss. They went 3 and out. There was a couple bad decisions, and Russell Wilson didn't want the head coach calling him out. And there was a little bit of a dust up about that. And Russell just got to the point like, hey, I'm untouchable. You don't criticize me. And
I remember the postgame show. We were doing the postgame show and Pete was like, we did say that's as far as we've ever heard Pete go to criticize Russell Wilson. But on a scale of 1 to 10 in criticism was still like a 3.5.
If that. So I think that the idea that Metcalf's numbers are going to go down. They could, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. There may be an added emphasis on getting the ball to him, and there may just be a cohesion that Metcalf has. I mean, the first time we brought up my deal, Urban Fryer had been the number one overall pick in the draft, and he'd had, you know, Steve Grogan, some guys that you would hear that had thrown to him, and when I played with him that first year, I was like, wow, this guy's really freaking good. And we got him his first 1,000-yard receiving season of his career. Now, that was back when teams didn't throw as much and it was more rare to get 1,000 yards. But he was in his seventh or eighth year in the league. So just because, and I wasn't any great shakes, somebody like a Drew Lock.
You knew who to get the ball to.
Well, I could it didn't take me long to practice, figure it out. That's the dude that you should throw to. And so, just because you're losing a better quarterback doesn't mean the new quarterback isn't going to really try and push the ball to DK.
All right. Every once in a while, I give Hugh an assignment, and Hugh needs some time to process the assignment. And I gave Hugh an assignment to talk about whether this Hawks roster, save the quarterback position, that's on the outside, the roster other than quarterback, is a better roster in 2022 than it was in 2021. We'll see what type of research and what he gives us coming up next, right after the top of the hour. Headlines on 93.3 KJRFM.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.